Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. This is the Jim Rome Show, and I am Jim Rome. Welcome to the jungle. What's cracking? Live in the Quicken Loan Studios, I am your pimp in the box. Pimping all that is good. Great to be here. It's getaway day. We'll talk about that later on. So do not waste time. I'm live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Big, big Friday program. Let's get at it. We're wide open to start. If you know what you want to talk about, hit me right now. I've got interviews coming up at 40 past hour number one, and then another interview at the top of hour number two. So once we go back to back, you are effectively shut out. Get in early, 1-800-636-8686. Call me right now, 1-800-636-8686. More importantly, hit me up on Twitter. Big day, the day you've all been waiting for. Not the official start of NBA free agency, not the day where we find out whether or not LeBron is going to opt in or opt out. We know that already. No, today is the day James Kelly, a.k.a. Flight Deck, comes into my studio and reads your mean tweets. Hit me up at Jim Rome. Hit Hawk up on Twitter. If you've got a mean tweet, get it in right now. In the third hour, the Flight Deck makes his jungle debut. He's worked on the show for close to a decade. He has never been on the air. Today, he walks it right into the studio and will read your mean tweets. That's in the third hour. Can't tell you where my head's at, where our priorities are. I promoted that instead of the three interviews. And they're really good interviews. Jenny Vrentis is a senior writer for SI and Monday Morning Quarterback. She joins me later on this hour. Top of hour number two, the guy is a jungle favorite. I've always been all about Dave Stewart, 16-year MLB vet. He comes back in. Also in hour number two, John Morosi, you know him. He is in studio today, the first time we've done that. So those three interviews and the Flight Deck. Taking your calls, maybe. Reading your mean tweets, absolutely. And I'll probably go Q&A with the guy as well. Top of hour number three, Jenny Vrentis this hour. Dave Stewart next hour. John Morosi in studio next hour. Top of hour three, the Flight Deck in studio. If I can get his head through the doorway, Hawk will be like pushing him through. Come on, Flight Deck, you can do it, bro. You can do it. They're landing helicopters on your head, man. Come on. Can't wait. Can't wait. I wish we were hour number three already. If I can only spin that clock a little faster. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me on Twitter and email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. It's going to be a very good day. How about a deck of yeah? Better late than never, Alvin. Going to be a very good day. Yeah. Starting off with Jameis Winston, I want to get to the NBA and LeBron and his decision to opt out and what that means, but I want to start with Jameis because it's now official. The NFL has suspended him for the first three games of the season for violating the league's personal conduct code. That's the headline. But when you get below it, it gets bad, and nobody comes out of this looking good. Nobody. Why don't we start with the statement first from the NFL, which read, that Winston violated the personal conduct code by, and I quote, touching the driver in an inappropriate and sexual manner without her consent, end quote. Yeah, I'm sorry, what? Deflating footballs gets you 4 games. Sexual assault gets you 3 games. I mean, is that even a real thing? Take the air out of a football, that's 4 games. Sexually assault an Uber driver and accuse her of lying about it, that gets you 3 games? Initially suspending Ray Rice for 2 games for knocking out his fiance, cannot believe how terrible this looks. I mean, forget whether justice is being served here. Are the optics being served here? Is anyone anywhere in that league office thinking how bad that looks? Does anybody say, hey, everybody, hold up now. We're going to look pretty horrible if the suspension for inappropriate conduct with a human being is less than the suspension for inappropriate conduct with a football? Is anybody saying, what kind of a message are we sending with this punishment? Apparently not, because the message is loud and clear. And yes, I know that it's, quote, a negotiated settlement, as a source told the NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, meaning that Winston will not appeal. Obviously part of their negotiated settlement. Of course, because the league's own personal conduct policy calls for a 6-game suspension for domestic or sexual violence. So, of course, it's a negotiated deal. Not only is it a negotiated deal, it's a very generous deal. It's half the normal punishment. So the question is, why did the league do a deal with somebody they were investigating for sexual assault? Why is this something to be negotiated? And of all people, why did they negotiate with this guy? If you're going to take it easy on somebody for sexual misconduct, and by the way, you shouldn't. It's sexual misconduct. But even if you were, Jameis Winston is not that guy. And I'll get to him and his statement in a second. But of all the people in the NFL to go easy on when it comes to sexual assault, and again, you shouldn't do it for anybody, but especially this guy. I mean, the NFL is so proud of itself for its new personal conduct policy that came out after the Ray Rice disaster. They were going to send a strong message to players that violence against women is not acceptable. And the message that they've sent with this ruling is violence against women is more acceptable than violence against footballs. I mean, bravo. Really well done, y'all. And if the argument is that Tom Brady's punishment was harsher because Brady and the Pats attempted to mislead the league's investigators, that doesn't work either, because Winston's group did the same thing. And they weren't misleading anybody about air pressure in a football. They were misleading investigators about an alleged sexual assault. Ronald Darby, for instance, Winston's teammate at Florida State, released a statement last November which read, quote, I feel the need to come forward and clarify some inaccurate accounts of the evening of March 13th, 2016, when myself, a friend, and Jameis Winston took an Uber ride in Arizona. There were 3 of us in the car, not just 1, as has been reported. Myself and Jameis were in the back seat. I am confident that nothing inappropriate in nature happened in the car that evening, and Jameis did not have any physical contact with the Uber driver. The accusations are just not true. End quote. Right, except Darby's statement was just not true, because the third man in the car said that Winston later got into another Uber by himself. So yes, Darby may have been describing an Uber ride that night, but he was not describing the Uber ride that night. And that wasn't Darby just talking in an interview and maybe getting confused. That was a statement that he released. That was a crafted statement. In their investigation, the NFL recognized the fault in Darby's statement, and they still went with 3 games. So not only that, but they're not making their findings of the investigation public. In the Ezekiel Elliott case, for instance, there was a 6-page letter that detailed the allegations, and it was made public. In the deflated football case, there were stacks and stacks of documents. In this, not so much. So, bottom line, what is the point of a personal conduct policy if you're not going to follow the personal conduct policy? And especially in a situation like this. The policy was written for cases like this. So if you conduct an investigation and your conclusion is Jameis Winston touched a woman, quote, in an inappropriate and sexual manner without her consent, end quote, then punish the guy like he touched a person in an inappropriate way and not like he touched a football in an inappropriate way. because otherwise the conclusions that everybody else is going to reach are pretty obvious. Now, I'm not saying that you value footballs over women. Then again, I don't have to, because your punishment is saying it for me. Four games for deflating a football, three games for sexual misconduct. It's like the worst optic ever. What a bad look. As far as Jameis Winston, I want to get into what he said and his statement. And for those of you who are saying he's young, he's immature, he's learning, he's getting better, he had a bad night. This guy didn't have a bad night. He's a bad guy. He did not have a bad night. He's a bad guy. And this is no one-off, is it? 1-800-636-8686. Hate to hammer you with a topic like that right off the top, but that's a topic we have to hit right off the top. And there's more to it where that came from. Also, Jenny Frentis joins me at 40 past, and we'll get into that topic with her too. Additionally, LeBron Watch 2018 rolls on. He's not opting in, so we'll talk about what that means. He's going to become a free agent. Are the Lakers going to get him? Are they going to get Kawhi Leonard? Other teams are trying to get Kawhi Leonard. But once again, in the case of Kawhi Leonard, the risk is, number one, how healthy is he? And number two, if he's made it clear he wants to go to the Lakers, even if the Celtics, for instance, have more to trade than the LA Lakers do, why do you make that deal? Why do you make that deal if there's no guarantee he's going to be there more than 1 year? You know, maybe you roll the dice like OKC did with Paul George. But then again, maybe you don't. As an example, the Lakers can overpay for Kawhi Leonard. As I said yesterday, in fact, it's not even possible for them to overpay for Kawhi. They need him. The Celtics, on the other hand, do not need to overpay for him, especially given his health and especially given there are no guarantees that he's going to be there beyond next year. The Lakers should overpay. The Celtics shouldn't. Oh, have I told you? The flight deck will be here in studio in hour number three, reading mean tweets about his flight deck forehead. College World Series is over. Oregon State let that one get away. And I want to talk, or I should say Arkansas did, and I want to talk about the Smack-Off, which is upcoming. I've got my third Smack-Off profile of the week, and I'll have that for you later on. Quickly, this email says, Rome, we need you to bring Roger Rabbit Goodell on and tell him how it is, like you did Daniel Stern. What in the holy guacamole? Yeah, remember that conversation I had with Daniel Stern? You mean NBA Commissioner Daniel Stern? That Daniel Stern? Danny, my man. Man, Danny and I had so many good conversations until that conversation that we had that was not a good one. You know, where I asked Daniel the same question that I'd asked him maybe 10 times before. The same question that everybody in the world asked him. And then Daniel lost his mind and snapped. Remember that? You mean that Daniel Stern? Joel in the ATX. Tell you what, Joel. I will do my best to get Roger Goodell on to talk to him and have a conversation similar to the one that I had with Daniel Stern. Except the conversation with Daniel was about whether or not the draft lottery was fixed. And I said it tongue-in-cheek. There's no joking about this one. But I'm sure Daniel appreciates you bringing him up. Hey, Jim, I have not been this excited since last year's Smack Off. The flight deck is like Bambi going into the Colosseum in Rome to be fed to the lions. I hope that his skin is as thick as his forehead. Can't wait. Justin from Melbourne. JK is going to be just fine. He's going to be just fine.
Can't wait.
Dude, he's got an enormous head. He'll be fine. Silk bra's in. The real silk bra. Deca, bra. Yeah, is not enough today. We need to go ballistic with Sandstorm and Danger Zone. I can do that. You're right. A Deca, yeah, does not do today justice. It's a getaway day. We've got the flight deck coming in studio. John Morosi in studio. Dave Stewart, top of hour number two. Jenny Frentis coming up this hour. Silk, bra. You're right. Bra, you're right. The deck he has not enough. It's not enough just to drop that. We need to go ballistic. And if we're going ballistic, there's only one way to do so. With Sandstorm and Danger Zone. I mean, literally, my head's going to explode with all of this. Thanks, Albie. Silk bra. The real silk bra. Not the fake silk bra. But I mentioned it's a bra. It's a getaway Friday because I am not in on Monday. Not only am I not in on Monday, I'm not in on Tuesday. Not only am I not in on Tuesday, I'm not in on Wednesday. The ultimate getaway for the ultimately long weekend.
Today is Friday,
Hood. Let's get some. 1-800-636-8686. Get your mean tweets in if you want them read on the air. Flight Deck in studio, third hour. Getting maximum performance out of anything does depend on what you put into it. So if you want maximum performance, for instance, at work, you put in the extra effort. When you want maximum performance from your kids, you put in the time and the tools. And when you want maximum performance from your car, you put in Castrol Edge. It's the titanium strong motor oil. Modern engines are smaller. They're more powerful. They now operate at a much higher pressure than ever before. Higher engine pressure causes significant stress on the oil. So the oil has to be strong, and it has to stay strong. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology. That is not just a figure of speech. It helps to reduce friction. It helps to maximize engine performance. Castrol Edge is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That's not me pulling that out of my backside. That's a fact. It was tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade. You want to put Castrol Edge into your vehicle today. I wouldn't put anything else in my car. Castrol Edge. LeBron is a free agent. Flight Deck, what's up? You ready for your big day? Flight Deck coming in. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you might have gotten a glimpse. Dear Rome, you grilling me years back was almost as bad as that McAllister brat hitting my dome with a hot iron.
Kevin!
Regards, Commish Daniel Stern. That's Vadi in Pasadena. You know how that goes. Yeah, I mean, it was not a great day. Daniel and I had words in that interview. It's a famous Jungle interview. Y'all know it. Hey, listen, I've been out of line before, and I'll own that on the first one. But in the case of Daniel, I was not. Daniel was. I was not. All right, so LeBron Watch 2018 rolls on. And according to the latest news, Joe Vardon of Cleveland.com, LeBron's agent has informed the Cavaliers he will not. He will not exercise his option, and he will become an unrestricted free agent, as entirely expected. No shock there. But LeBron went cliff diving in Anguilla. And before he jumped, he had to get himself hyped. He had to get himself fired up. My man had to work up to it.
Here we go. Here we go. Hey, it's all about America. Let's go. Let's go. You ain't ready. Let's go. Black excellence.
My man's clowning. He's clowning. He was enjoying himself. Good for him. I mean, when you carry J.R. Smith and the rest of that crew on your back for an entire season, you gotta let loose at some point. Most other people would have jumped out of a window halfway through that season. So the fact that he made it through the entire year and is now jumping off a cliff that's not that high anyway is fine by me. I'm not sure how high that cliff is. It doesn't look very high. So I'm pretty sure that that pre-jump speech is all a big clown job. It's a colossal joke. But you've got to respect how he's handling everything else before the start of free agency. This guy's relaxed. He's having fun. Almost as much fun as Lakers' Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma. Their names have been coming up and in circulation in trade rumors for weeks on end. Hart decided to dip his toe in the waters of Lake Troll last night. And he started out with this, quote, "Tonight will be crazy." Hey, Josh, troll your boat gently down the stream. I mean, even though that was a completely transparent troll job, it did not stop Laker fans and NBA fans from freaking out. And then after it went viral, Hart circled back, quote, "Okay, calm down. I'm talking about Drake's album." Uh-huh. Sure you were, Jay. Sure you were, Jay. That tweet got Donovan Mitchell up and on his phone telling Josh, quote, bro, just log off Twitter. And he had four laughing emojis. I mean, Donovan, seriously? He can't do that. He can't just log off Twitter. You had your slam dunk competition, and you were amazing in the playoffs. This is Josh Hart's slam dunk competition. All-Star weekend and playoffs all rolled into one. No way is this dude logging off right now. And he proved it by responding to Donovan with, quote, can't even live my life without the fake social media analysts. And that just got it started again because Kyle Kuzma came flying in with, quote, yo, at Josh Hart, how much attention do you want? Sheesh, dog. LOL. First off, I'm not sure that you're the guy who should be asking that question, Kuz. Not after you fired off the first domino tweet a few days back. And not after you chased this question with another tweet a few hours later that just read, quote, nonstop. But if you ask Josh Hart the question, you're going to get an answer. And the answer was, quote, we both know I'm a loser and do nothing else but hoop and play video games. I thrive at times like these. End quote. I'll tell you what, it's actually fantastic. I approve. LeBron goes cliff diving and these guys go trolling. Because both of these guys know this is their time on Twitter. The sharks are circling. They're desperate for something, anything at all. So Josh and Kyle know that even the vaguest, most general tweet ever is going to get crazy run and crazy reaction. It's actually genius. Stay on it, fellas. Keep on keeping on. Keep on capitalizing. In fact, the vaguer, the better. Honestly, if anything, nonstop, quote, nonstop, is way too specific. Just go even more vague. You know, a few random letters, some random numbers. Let the internet figure it out. Give them something to chew on or get really specific and start tweeting out flight details to San Antonio. That would melt Twitter into a puddle. Whatever you do, because the Twitter sun is not going to shine forever, but you may as well make hay while it does. If I'm these guys, I would do the exact same thing. It's their time. At least on Twitter. Troll on, fellas. Troll on. And LeBron's just jumping off cliffs that are like 10 feet high.
Black excellence!
Dropped a little profanity. And then the black excellence statement. And then he jumped in. But again, he's clowning. I mean, his kid got up there first and jumped right in without saying a word. It's toll free. 1-800-636-8686. 21 days until the smack off. John in New York has been on before. John in New York has taken a shot at a golden ticket before. It did not work. He's back again. He wants that thing badly. Let's find out if he's got what it takes in New York. Hey, John, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Tim, it's great to be back on. I just wanted to personally thank Rich Backstabberman, Smackerman, Ackerman for his unequivocal support during our run for the Radio Hall of Fame. The king of t-shirts. I didn't see any love for Rome like the love you gave the fake Lewis and Clark expedition team from Edmonton and Calgary by donning a Team Canada t-shirt. I see self-promotion is no issue for you though, Rich, with those whack Act 50 t-shirts. What was that? Some sort of pimple medication promotion, Rich? And I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun looking for Regis's teeth in your birthday cake after he helped you blow out the candles. But don't worry, Rich. Your sneaky agenda to be the catalyst behind trying to bring the Smack-Off crown north of the border will fall short, like these yellowbacks. Remember the Raptors, Rich. I would have loved to have heard more of the so-called legends, Jim. Another bunch of yellowback cowards. Come out of the witness protection program and mix up the Smack. Mike and Indy probably now hold the record for the oldest adult having the longest diaper rash. For Rick in Buffalo and you other players in the jungle, refer to Charles Barkley's note to Bill Laimbeer. Enjoy the holiday, Jim. I'm knocking. Let me in. I'm out.
John in New York. All right, called in to crush Rich Ackerman for being a sellout and a traitor. Pretty harsh on Rich. All right, John. He's trying. He wants it badly. I don't think there's anybody anywhere who wants that golden ticket worse than John in New York wants it. Is that enough to get it? Man, I'll tell you what. I so badly want some New York representation. I mean, what's a smack off without somebody from New York? What the hell? I'm in a good mood. It's a getaway Friday. John, you can have it.
Because I've got a golden ticket.
But John. Here's the condition attached to that golden ticket. I better hear from you again before July 20th.
Hey, John.
All right? If I don't hear from you, listen closely. If I do not hear from you before July 20th, I will rip that thing. You'll get helicoptered. So you have it, but you have to keep earning it over and over again. At least one more time. So John in New York, because one, I'm a great guy. Two, because I'm just as likely to rip it out of his hand as I was to give it to him. And three, I really want some New York representation in the smack off. And as far as I can tell, New York, that guy's the best you have to offer. If somebody else from New York were to call who is better, I'll probably take John's away. I don't need two representatives from New York, but I do need somebody to rep New York. And right now, John is the best that that town has to offer. John, you're in. You're in, but you have to keep earning it. Keep it in mind. All right, there's one golden ticket. We're having a good first half hour on a Friday. 1-800-636-8686. If you missed it yesterday, I'd been calling out to Vic in NoCal and Mike in Indy. Vic in NoCal finally did show up. He said, I'm here, Rome. You know I would be, and you know I'll be there that day. It's not an RSVP. I don't RSVP. I weigh in. He weighs in. So, Vic is officially in. Still no word on Mikey De La Creme. And John is officially in New York, but he's going to have to re-earn that thing. Dave Stewart, top of the hour. John Morosi in studio. Next hour, the flight deck. Reading your mean tweets in hour number three. But when we come back, SI senior writer Jenny Vrentis. First things first, here is your sports update. Andrew.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question there. Listen later on. I might answer one of yours. And remember, O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. As promised, we are joined right now by a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and the MMQB. Jenny Vrentis is my guest. Jenny, nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Nice to visit with you. Let me start, Jenny, with that piece that you have up this morning that breaks down the NFL's punishment for Jameis Winston. Before we get into the specifics, I want to get your thoughts on the league's three-game suspension for him. When you first heard that, what was your initial reaction?
Surprised, because when the NFL rewrote its personal conduct policy in 2014 following the Ray Rice case, the goal was, you know, to have establish a baseline, to establish consistency, to strengthen the policy. And that's when they set a baseline of 6 games for first-time offenders. Now, it allows for mitigating and aggravating circumstances, but I don't see any that apply in this case. I don't see any mitigating circumstances that apply. And certainly an aggravating circumstance is having a history of similar conduct before. And certainly Winston had allegations in college against him as well. So I was surprised that they didn't enforce the 6-game. This did not seem to be a case where you should lessen the baseline punishment. So I was surprised when they announced the number of games.
Jenny Vrent is joining us. I mean, Jenny, to that point, the league's statement read that Jameis Winston touched an Uber driver, quote, in an inappropriate and sexual manner without her consent, end quote. So given the baseline standard for first-time offenders, under the league's personal conduct policy, it's a 6-game suspension. It would seem pretty clear that he would be in line for 6 games. So how did we get to 3?
Right. And the NFL statement yesterday offered no equivocation, right? It explicitly, very plainly stated that he touched her in an inappropriate and sexual way. And so I was surprised then to see equivocation in the punishment. It was the result of a settlement. They went from 6 to 3, talks between the players union and the NFL. But I just think when you allow for the baseline to be negotiated down in certain cases but not others, and don't give clear parameters as to why it was negotiated down, which that was not made clear, why it was cut in half. Perhaps it was because he cooperated with the investigation. He didn't push back. We've seen in other cases like Ezekiel Elliott and then, you know, certainly a completely different thing, but with Tom Brady and the on-field, you know, Deflategate, if someone pushes back, there's, you know, they don't ever cut the suspension down. But I just, without a clear explanation of why the suspension was cut in half and why it would be warranted to cut it in half in this case, I think it's really undermines the policy.
Jenny Frentis joining us. You know, your point about Tom Brady, and Jenny, I mentioned this before you came on, but is there not somebody in that league office who might say, listen, this is a really bad look that Tom Brady is getting a worse punishment for deflating footballs than Jameis Winston is for inappropriate behavior with a woman?
Well, I think it's apples to oranges in a sense of, like, there's certain policies for different things, and you know, that falls under one policy for integrity of the game, and this falls under the personal conduct policy. But listen, it's always awkward to assign a certain number of games missed for a serious off-the-field allegation like domestic violence and sexual assault. So you're never going to have a perfect formula for that. What's worth three? What's worth six? But that's where the personal conduct policy was supposed to say you're a first-time offender, six games is a baseline. It was supposed to reduce the criticism, make the guidelines clearer, act as a strong deterrent. And because that six-game standard is not, it's not really the rule. It's actually the exception when the six-game standard is applied for the personal conduct policy violations. And that weakens a policy that was supposed to be corrected 4 years ago.
Right. And again, just to reiterate, coming out of the disaster that was the league's response to the Ray Rice situation, this personal conduct policy that they seem to be so proud of because of how tough it was supposed to be six games. So a few years on, what do you make of that policy and how it's been applied?
I think the problem when you undermine the policy is that, as I wrote in the column, you're sort of opening up for excusing and enabling bad behavior, right? You can compare behaviors. What is not as bad as the other? And that's not really fair to say grabbing her in the crotch isn't as bad as rape. Okay, but they're bad behaviors that are related, and it's not really okay to say one is less than the other. Then you start kind of talking about bad behavior in a way that makes some of it seem okay. And that's why I felt like the message sent with the Winston suspension is just, it's saying exactly that. Well, it's not bad enough to be a six-game penalty. You know, this is a person who's had history of allegations against him, who's made lewd remarks in a cafeteria when he was in college. And so to give the benefit of the doubt, this person who's had issues in the past, this was really not the case to do that on.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, given this guy's history, the rape accusation at Florida State, the New York Times investigation that revealed a woman who went to counseling after a sexual encounter with Winston, I mean, is there a pattern here and a set of aggravating factors as opposed to mitigating factors?
I would argue that there are aggravating factors. Like you mentioned, you know, he wasn't charged for the rape in college. However, the woman who said that he raped her, she ended up receiving settlements in two lawsuits, one from the university and one from him. The one from the university was nearly $1 million, which speaks that it was mishandled. The New York Times investigation revealed that the police and the university didn't try very hard to see what happened that night. And then, yeah, there was a second woman who sought counseling after a sexual encounter with him. Didn't rise to the level of anything reporting involving the police, but she felt uncomfortable enough. And after that, one of the assistant state attorneys in Tallahassee said that this seems to be a pattern rather than a single one-off, those two incidents taken together. So with that past history in college, then for this to come up, and then to allow his statement to say, you know, he hasn't been drinking, and then there were reports from multiple outlets, I think, that he'd indicated he might not have remembered parts of the night because he'd been drinking so much. That, again, is an excuse for behavior. So I find all of that frustrating, and I find the message that it sends confusing and not really what the strengthened personal conduct policy was intended to do in 2014.
Jenny Frentis is our guest. And then what do you make of his apology? You saw that. What's your reaction to his apology?
Well, I think the thing that was frustrating about the words that he chose were he didn't expressly apologize for what the NFL investigation concluded that he did, which was touch the Uber driver in a sexual and inappropriate manner. He did not clearly apologize for that. And, I think I also thought it was convenient, the reports saying that when he spoke to investigators, he had said that there were parts of the night that he may not have remembered. He maintained his innocence, but said there might have been things I don't remember because I was drinking. However, when the BuzzFeed News story broke last November, sharing the story from the Uber driver and what she had immediately reported to her employer, Uber, who then removed him from the ride-sharing platform, his immediate response was to call the allegations false and say he absolutely did nothing inappropriate that night. So to me, it's kind of a convenient swing from saying, I absolutely didn't do anything wrong, to, oh, I don't really remember. I don't get a sense of, there's not any remorse expressed. And if the NFL's investigation is very clear that he engaged in wrongdoing, shouldn't we expect some kind of remorse especially if you're going to lessen a punishment?
Right. Once again, the question is, are you sorry for what you did, or are you sorry that you're in the position you find yourself in right now? Not only that, but what about that part of the statement where he talks about how he's matured over the past 2.5 years? And you hear the argument that, listen, the guy is still young, he's still learning. I know you've heard that argument. What do you make of that argument?
I think immaturity is different from wrongdoing, right? You know, if you're immature, you might drink too much with your friends and, you know, come to practice late the next day. That's immaturity. Hurting other people, that's a pattern of behavior that's come up multiple times now. And so maybe he has grown, and I certainly hope that's true. But I don't think that giving him a lesser punishment encourages that growth, encourages that change. I would argue that it discourages it, and it, you know, by continuing to offer some kind of excuse for bad behavior, that's really what got us to this point anyway.
Jenny Vrentis joining us for a few more moments. You know, as an example, Jameis Winston's 24, but he's still a few days older than Landon Collins, who is part of a group of New York Giants players who went to Puerto Rico earlier this summer to participate in relief efforts. You had a great piece about that trip last month. What did you make of what you saw when you first arrived in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking about it. It was really an eye-opening experience, you know, to see people who are, you know, living in a part of the United States still without power, still without running water, inconsistent running water. We went to a lot of rural parts of the island that are harder to get to. Some of the drives were very long and up in the mountains. And the players were working with AmeriCares, which works to help provide access to medical supplies and medical care for people, particularly in areas affected by poverty or disaster. And so I thought the players really went out of their way to let the people know that they weren't forgotten, which I think is so important, because when you've been without power for months on end and there's no end in sight, it's easy to feel forgotten, and many of them expressed that sentiment. So I thought that there was a lot of really meaning to those people, to have people come from New York, come from a football team, even if they weren't football fans. They appreciated the fact that people took the time to come visit them, and to support their access to medicines. We met people who were starting a community clinic. The players helped them, you know, paint the clinic. They delivered supplies to some of these places that are basically oases in the middle of a rural area that's really still recovering.
And then in terms of Collins himself, he had surgery on his forearm a few weeks before that trip, but still went. When you spoke with him, why was it so important for him to be a part of that trip?
Yeah, he, you know, was a survivor of Hurricane Katrina. You know, both of his parents, their houses were affected by the storm. They were displaced. And he, driving through Puerto Rico, was saying he recognized the blue FEMA tarps that were over the roof, because that similar tarp had been on his mother's house. So he had personal experience and hoped to launch a disaster relief charity focused on rebuilding homes later this year. So even though he broke his forearm, you know, even though he required the second surgery on it not long before the trip, it was important for him to go because it was really a personal cause for him, because he'd been similarly affected by a storm that kind of, and he knows what it was like to sort of not be sure as a young kid, like where you're going to live or when your community will be restored.
A senior writer for SI and the MMQB, Jenny Vrentis, joining us on the show once again. Jenny, always good to visit with you. Thank you so much. Nice job.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Have a great weekend. Thank you very much, Jenny Vrentis. All right, coming to the end of hour number one, we spent a lot of time in hour one talking about Jameis Winston. and the league hitting him with a 3-game suspension. Again, that baseline is 6 games. That code of conduct policy was implemented as a response to Ray Rice when the league butchered that situation so badly by only giving him 2 games. And the league was pretty happy with itself at that time. But as you look at the way they've used that policy, it's been really inconsistent. So how do you go from 6 games to 3 games? And her point was, it's apples to oranges when I mentioned Tom Brady. Maybe so. But the optics aren't. The optics are what the optics are. And the optics are terrible in that this guy got a 4-game suspension, Brady, for deflating footballs. But Jameis Winston is getting a 3-game suspension for sexual assault. It's like the worst optic ever. It's a bad, bad look, even if we're talking apples to oranges. So if you want to respond to any of that, do it. Coming up in hour number 2, I'm going to start with Dave Stewart. Former MLB great Dave Stewart joins us. That's next. Also coming up in the second hour, I've got John Morosi, good friend of the program, but has never been in studio before. Speaking of being in studio, this guy really has never been in studio before, except when he walks in the occasional email or tweet about how gigantic his flight deck is. But then he walks in and he walks out. Today, James Kelly walks in, sits down, and reads your mean tweets. He may even take a mean telephone call or two. That's in the third hour. So we're coming right back. It's Getaway Friday. Nice to have you clones here. Hit me up on the phones, on Twitter, or via email. Second hour with Dave Stewart, straight ahead.